Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, I'm Clive Anderson. Welcome to My Seven Wonders. In ancient times, hanging gardens, great pyramids, and other superstructures were celebrated as wonders of the world. And like days of the week and deadly sins, there are always seven of them. But what are the seven wonders you'd put on your personal list? Well, that's the question I ask my guests in this podcast and on this stage here today. And the guest I'm asking today is a stand-up comedian who's made a big impact in his own name or playing Lee Nelson and other characters. He's appeared on stage, on many TV shows, and he's appeared uninvited at a variety of high-profile events to embarrass high-status figures in politics, sport and show business. Please welcome Simon Brodkin. Simon. Do sit down. Right. So, Simon, let's welcome on board.
Thank you. Yes. This is the best podcast I've ever been on.
Yes, indeed. So just so we know where you are in at the moment here. So you're doing a show called
It's called Xavier.
Xavier.
No, I don't mind. It's not a character show.
No.
Because I did characters in the past. Stand-up. Not going to give away why it's called Xavier. But yes. Come along and find out.
I know somebody who had that as a middle name, but it's a Spanish name, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's Spanish. Were they Spanish?
Yes, half Spanish.
Okay, well, we've got a lot of evidence that it is Spanish.
Yes. Got a Spanish father. He's a politician. But anyway, so so you're doing that show, and this is before going on a tour of a major stand-up act?
Yes. So Xavier's on 8:30 every night of The Fringe at The Pleasance, and then afterwards will continue a tour. It's the second leg of the tour.
Okay.
No need to say that, just showing off, really.
All right, no. It's impressive.
I'm really proud because obviously this foray into stand-up is actually quite recent for me. This is only the third time I've been and done a show out of character as stand-up, and the reaction has been amazing. And there's a show about to go on sale at the Apollo, which I'm proud of. What can I say?
Okay, I think you've said quite enough, really. But so you mentioned character. One of the characters people may have seen you on television and in all sorts of circumstances playing Lee Nelson. Now, how would you describe Lee Nelson? Just to remind people who you are.
A South London cheeky rogue.
Yes.
Are you right, you bunch of legends? Was the sort of vibe that he would have in it. And he had a show, called Lee Nelson's Well Good Show. And on BBC Three. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I've heard of that, yes.
That was great. That sort of led to instantly lots of people knowing, well, not who I was, but funnily enough, and that's I'm sure we'll get on to this.
Well,
I'm
just doing all this to get so people know who you are.
Yes,
because people will also have seen you almost certainly, even if they're not followers of comedy. Is a stunt the right word for stunts that you have pulled in various occasions?
Yeah, whatever, stunts, pranks. Desperate cries for attention.
So I don't know which one. I don't know which ones would be the most shocking or exciting that you've done.
Absolutely. The Sepp Blatter throwing the money over disgraced FIFA president Sepp Blatter.
Yes.
And of course, the irony there was I was the one who went to prison and he didn't.
So you were throwing dollar bills or.
So I threw dollar bills. It was just as the rumours of bribery and all sorts of skullduggery was going on about FIFA. Of course, he was at the helm, and I think it's been proven since that he was a wrong'un, shall we say.
Yes.
I interrupted a big conference he was holding. It was actually in character. So it was a stunt in character. I went as Jason Bent, who is your sort of... Yeah, Jason Bent. Cheers for comment. Nice one, lad. Yeah. Right. Jason Bent's the loaded and rather brainless Premier League footballer, who would justify his astronomical wages. You know, everyone has a go at, you know, everyone says footballers are overpaid compared to nurses. Well, I went to hospital the other week, had a kick around with them, and they are shit. So it was at this press conference, and I went in as Jason with a bundle of cash and said, Sepp, there you go, as we discussed, all the money there for the North Korea 2026 World Cup, lad.
Yeah.
and then threw it all over him.
So now that takes a lot of, bravery, chutzpah. Is it helpful to have a character to play while you're doing that? So it's almost like a protection. Like, Barry Humphries could be as rude as he liked,
yes,
being Dame Edna, because
yes,
it's a character. But you were in a more, treacherous circumstances doing those sort of stunts.
Well,
did it help?
Having seen his security, I actually wasn't in any treacherous circumstance.
No.
But as he's there going, security, security. Yeah. I think his security hated him as well, because they took a couple of...
Yeah.
So this, the characters, absolutely, especially initially, did help me and enabled me to perform comedy. I would definitely not, I don't think, have done it had I had to perform as myself. When I started, I didn't even want to. I just was, the thing to do is, step into a character and pretend to be someone else for laughs. And that's where Lee came about. And that was the first thing I ever did on stage. And then it was always characters.
Odd enough, you came up with a rather dull name, Lee Nelson, compared to your real name, which is more interesting, isn't it?
So Simon Brodkin. fun enough, my tour show is actually a little bit about my name and how it might be sort of, it's an interesting name, but equally a forgettable name.
Yeah.
And it came about, I was part of the inspiration of the show that I'm touring, which is different to the one in Edinburgh, is I got turned down for I'm a Celebrity. And they said, not enough people know my name. And my name, I discovered, is pretty forgettable. And people come up to me often in the street, oh, mate, massive fan of yours, love your stuff, can I get a selfie? I'm like, yeah sure. Then what's your name again? and there was this gulf between the guy who does the things, the characters, and me. I mean, there was Amazon recently put out a whole drama series all about corruption in world football, right? Yeah. And they recreated my entire Sepp Blatter stunt, and I didn't get the part of me.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think, fun enough, the Lee Nelson, this goes into sort of choosing a good name. I think Lee Nelson was kind of spot on. When you have a character, you want it to really, you can, that person, that just fits. And I think Lee Nelson, it is simple, but I think people, it's easy to pick up.
It's not about me, but odd enough, the same thing happened to me, because there was a film about Peter Cook which was made, and they recreated a little interview between me and him as part. It wasn't a major scene, but anyway, but I wasn't offered the part of playing myself. And I happened to bump into somebody at the film. I said, well, I would like to be asked. And you wouldn't have wanted to. It was filming in New Zealand, and there was only a small scene. What, a trip to New Zealand? I hang around for a few days, film a 5-minute scene. That is my ambition as a film career. That's
well, join the club.
Yeah,
of,
okay. So the other stunt that you pulled that people will remember was, other, but another one was the Theresa May.
The Theresa May.
You picked on her when she was at a really down time, wasn't she?
I love that, how she's become the victim in this. The most powerful woman in Britain. You're picking on someone there, Simon.
She didn't seem very powerful at that time.
That was sort of the inspiration for the stunt that she was saying. What was she saying? Strong and stable. no, not even the letters behind her when she was speaking were
the
strong or stable.
Her throat went, and then you came on and gave her a P45.
Yeah, right. You're suggesting I'm kicking a man while she's down. Yeah. How dare you? Yeah, I mean, it is funny because it is interesting that people watched that and felt sympathy for, like, literally the most powerful person in Britain, and maybe aside from Simon Cowell, but And there I was, yes. So I gave her a P45 when I was sort of dressed as a Tory aide. And with all these stunts, you never quite know how it's going to unfold, what's going to happen, what the moment will be like. And in true sort of British style and Theresa May style, I passed her the P45 and she took it. Put it under her notes and carried on with the speech.
Yes.
I mean, like, hello, is anyone going to notice what's just happened? So, and instead of getting thrown out, I obviously was so convincing as this Tory aide that the security just lowered me back in amongst all the other... I'm like, I've done the stunt. I don't want to be at a Tory party conference. This is not what I wanted for the rest of the afternoon. So I then sort of needed to up the stakes for people to realise, okay, this wasn't meant to happen. And I went over to Boris and the idea was it was signed by him. Mm. And I had the incredible foresight, along with the rest of the country, to realise he actually wanted to be Prime Minister himself. And I went over, Boris, absolutely went as planned. Perfect. Good lad. And slapped him on the thigh. Yeah. He then calls me. He's brilliant. I only saw this footage only a few months ago because I was, just concentrating on being funny. And he turned to, I think it was, is it David Davis?
David Davis. There is a David Davis.
Who's the guy? He was in the cabinet. And he used, anyway, a long in the tooth Tory minister. He said, pointed to me, a stupid tosser. Now, I don't know if you've ever been called a tosser by the king of tossers, but I took it as a compliment anyway. Yeah. And then, of course, everyone realised that I wasn't meant to be there and I wasn't meant to be slapping Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
And that's when they came and dragged me out, of which the whole party conference were chanting scum, scum, scum.
Oh.
Can you imagine the excerpt was...
So you called a tosser and scum.
It was
in one
day. In fact, last year's Edinburgh Poster had both as quotes on the on it, and then was taken away. And then the armed police came along. What happens with the prank is obviously the armed police aren't really there to deal with people. Oh, hello.
Oh, hang on. You haven't staged an invasion, have you?
No.
I feel somebody's leant against the light, probably.
That is...
I often do this at parties, and it's not popular. Well, what a fine-looking audience we briefly saw there. Much younger than I was expecting.
I thought it was last orders.
Yeah. All right, so we should get on to your wonders. I don't normally spend so much time just chatting aimlessly.
Wonders, of course.
What's your wonder? Well, your first wonder,
yes.
you've given me a list of just, virtually single words, so I have to try and work out what they might be.
Okay.
What your first wonder is selfishness. Now, that's the most surprising. Who wants selfishness? Who recognises selfishness as a wonder of the world?
Well, I look at selfishness as a... I thought this was going to be last. This is probably my most serious. So if anyone's just tuning in now, the others will be funnier.
Yeah.
And if nothing's raising a laugh, if someone could put that light back on again, that was that was bang on.
That got the biggest applause so far.
Yeah, I know.
What is it? Wonder of the world, isn't it? Light.
Light.
Until 200 years ago, this would be the work of the devil, wouldn't it? Someone better produce light.
Absolutely. Selfishness was... I look at selfishness, and this is in this show at the Edinburgh Fringe, as this in wonderment at its ability to dominate our thoughts, including mine. And the show looks at who's good and who's bad, this show that I'm doing in Edinburgh, and looking and then analysing me and realising, listen, I know I want to be better. I know what I want to do. I want to be the sort of guy who does more for the environment. You know, I want it, but when it comes to it, I can't be asked. You know, I mean, I'm still washing out my plastic yogurt pots and my cardboard and folding up and putting them out on a Wednesday for them to be sent to China and burnt. But, I mean, apart from that, you know, I want to shop local. I want to do the... I want to massage my wife's feet in a bubble bath, you know, every night because she's had a long day, not just a couple of times because I've looked at something on the laptop that I feel guilty about while she was at work. I have all these wants, all these things that I know I should be the sort of person, but the selfishness is what dominates me. And I think if you look at what's going on in the world now, with sort of the world burning and everyone just carrying on nicely, if anything, people are turning on lights when they don't need to.
Selfish.
And it's the selfishness that is sort of drives us. We're all sat here. We all know that we shouldn't be doing these things. We all know we are contributing to the downfall of the planet and possibly civilization, but our selfishness just carries, leads us to just continue. And that sort of makes me, that is a wonder for me.
Well, I think you make a good point. I'm not sure how that makes it a wonder of the world, but
you can look and marvel in future generations, maybe when they've managed to get rid of the selfishness, they will look at that. It would be like looking at, with the Tower of London, that's a bloody place of murder and death and torture. That's the wonder.
Yes, okay. I follow you. Yes, so what you're essentially saying that we should... we all want to save the planet, but we all also want to fly off on holiday or to drive a car rather
What are any of us actually doing? Sacrificing? Mm. We all talk a good fight, but when it comes to it, we all manage to justify everything that we want to do because it's just what we want to do. Yeah. I think we will be paying the consequences.
Yes. And a related point, you could say an awful lot of comedians make a big thing about they're sticking up for the small guy, maybe anti-corporations, anti-capitalism, and yet they're all competing with each other to make as much money as possible.
Yes, I mean, I'll do anything for money. absolutely. You know, people can say, "Oh, Simon, you're doing amazing. You're pointing at corruption. You're bringing, you're punching up with Theresa May or with rename Philip Green's yacht, the BHS Destroyer." Got on stage with Kanye West to take, after, and Donald Trump, of course, the ultimate, but, throwing Nazi golf balls in his golf course. But would I? That was in Scotland, actually. Yeah.
You mentioned a few more of those hits. Which was the most excitingly dangerous one?
The point of that is, would I be doing, I don't want to say just to do my CV, but would I be doing that if the cameras weren't there, if I wasn't getting the laughs out of it, So even the things that look altruistic, we are still doing that often, ultimately, for ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm a real piece of shit, is what I think I'm trying to...
No, I think that there's an argument. I think it's Carl Jung's argument. There's no such thing as altruism. We're always doing something for our own benefit.
Right. But if I knew who he was, I might be able to... I'm already out of my depth intellectually.
No, not at all. Well, how about Richard Dawkins? He wrote a book called The Selfish Gene, and he sort of reanalyzed how we look at the world. We think we're the creatures, and our genes sort of pass it all on. But you can just analyze the world. It's the genes. They are the bits of chromosome. They are the things that are living.
Interesting.
And they just reproduce themselves by instructing, go and create an elephant, or go and become a tree, and then come back and...
I have a bit of medical, but I was a doctor, qualified as a doctor. That's how desperate the NHS were. So obviously we are packed with viruses, fungi, bacteria, and maybe they're actually calling the shots because they need us to live for them to live.
Okay, I'm going to call the shot now to move on to your second wonder, which is jokes.
Jokes.
So you mentioned just now that you were qualified as a doctor, you studied medicine, and so you might have had a medical career, but something distracted you into the world of comedy.
Yes.
Was that something you always wanted to do and you were just being a doctor to fit in with your schooling, or did you decide, I can't stand this?
It's a bit of both. I wanted to get into comedy, but I had no idea how to. I would always make people laugh. I always got a thrill out of that. But then there's one thing saying you're interested in it, another thing, I have absolutely no idea how I would go about it, and I wasn't going to waste my time researching. Hell no. so it was just a sort of a pipe dream. And then I also had a desire to help people, and that's where the medicine came in. But again, when push came to shove, I chose... making people laugh above helping them.
Well, laughter's the best medicine, people sometimes claim.
You try telling that to some of my patients who died after.
So you went to what sounds like a very intellectual school, because it's called University College School.
Yes.
Unless you can just throw in the word academy somewhere.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's like, it's like telling everyone how really great a person you are. I don't think you are. So yeah, it's an all boys fee paying school, which I went to. I remember this terrible school uniform. We used to have maroon and black striped blazer.
Yeah.
Used to get the tube every day. Maroon and black striped blazer, maroon cap, Latin motto embroidered on the pocket. Paulatim sed firmiter. Oh. Prepare to be mugged.
So your careers masters would obviously be saying, yes, medicine, how far did you get into medicine before you dropped out, if that's the right word, or diverted into comedy?
Yeah, well, I did 1 year as a junior doctor, and the studying was amazing fun, and hanging out and being, you know, with your mates when it came to the actual medicine.
Yeah.
It's hard work. The NHS is hard. You're staying in these sort of Soviet style accommodation blocks and with fire doors, and it's just bleak, and you've really got to want to do it.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have that anymore.
Yes.
And so after the last hour of my shift, drove home through the night from Manchester to London, rang on the bell, Mum, Dad, I'm gonna be living here. Then just tried to venture into comedy.
Yes. And were they supportive? Did they say, yeah, never mind all that medical education and A-levels and stuff.
Never mind, Simon.
Go and attack Sleb instead.
You say that, but they are the most chilled out parents. They are. And bear in mind that we're talking about Jewish parents here. You would have been thought, Simon, you're dead to me.
Simon the doctor.
Yeah. I think my mother-in-law was the hardest hit. Because what are you going to do? Yeah. Telling people, you know, my daughter's married to a doctor. Now my daughter's married to some fucking idiot.
Yeah, yeah. So you're already married. You're already married. You had a medical career.
No, I wasn't married.
No,
I don't think. No, I wasn't married. I wasn't.
But your mother-in-law just posted from the future. That's how.
No, because it's don't forget, when you keep the doctor thing for a while, no one takes you. When you start saying, I'm doing comedy, they just think, no, you're not, mate. You are just living at home, taking a sabbatical from going back to medicine. Yeah. So that sort of... and she did talk about me before we were married.
Yeah. Yes. She knew you.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
But I've forgotten what the wonder was.
The wonder is jokes.
Right.
So what's jokes? Jokes you've heard? Little gags?
Just everything. Yeah. Isn't that incredible that there are these things that just... There's a whole festival running off of jokes, these word plays, these twists of the language, this entertainment that can be so variable in its format, from a knock-knock to a paragraph to an hour-long joke to a simple joke to just this instinct of this laughter, and what a joy that is, and also how it can keep bringing up these same topics every year. You know what I get asked by a journalist? Yeah. You know, are you allowed to say these things anymore? Can you make a joke about this? It's like, I wish they'd cover this at school and then we could all move on. Because, yes, we can joke about anything, I want people to realise that.
Yeah.
And it's important that we always as comedians are pushing the boundaries. And that boundary just changes.
Yeah.
But I just find them a fascinating creature that...
Right.
And of course, made a career out of it, which is a joy.
Well, you can certainly claim to be fearless because you've pushed different types of barriers in the stuff you've done in those stunts and things. But in telling jokes, do you tell jokes about people, you know, famous people or types of people, or is it more about yourself, which is quite a common thing for comedians?
Well, first with the characters, I think there were simpler, sort of more scientifically structured jokes. Yeah. So it would be rug pulls, as we say in the business. You take someone one way and then you go the other way.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of a Lee joke. or confusion as well. So there are very simple things with the characters. And now what's bringing me enormous satisfaction is doing stand-up as myself.
Right.
I feel like it's a richer experience both for writing and to listen to, because I think there's only a certain amount of one-liners that you that can last and take you on a journey, have actual interesting emotions in. And what I'm trying to do now with the straight stand-up is write jokes that are much more truthful and I'm finding more interesting, and I think it allows you to talk take it to more interesting places.
Yeah, and of course you're doing a joke about, if you're Lee Nelson, you're making jokes about a stupid footballer or a simple footballer.
Whereas, yes.
You're somebody with more of an intellectual bent, so you're sort of making fun of that.
I think that with the characters, it's something that came easier because you're writing to a formula. You know what you're writing for. Of course, we are all complex and contrasting and conflicting characters as humans, and if we can get that out in our stand-up, that I think is the ultimate goal. That, and I'm the butt of the joke, and you're really digging into areas that are that you really feel something about, and that's been a joy for me to do the straight stand-up as opposed to the character stuff.
It's obviously going pretty well, but should for some reason the whole comedy career come to a grinding halt, you've got your medicine to fall back on. You can go
have a happy mother-in-law.
Which is always good. We'll move on to your third, because we're going to run out of time if we get to these quickly enough. But your third wonder is a surprise to see it on your list, a surprise to me anyway, which is Amazon.com. But I can see there's an argument that it is a wonder of the world.
It is. There are two Amazons that we know of, and I think one of them is winning. And it's probably the wrong one.
Yes.
I want to shop local in a local, independent, fair trade shop, but the problem is I can get everything for cheaper on Amazon.
Yes.
And they bring it to me and on the same day, and I know they don't treat workers very well and they don't pay much tax, but my God, they're so good they shouldn't have to. And I wish I wasn't that person, but literally you can get everything. I have parcels arriving, I buy everything I need and so much more I don't need from Amazon.
Yes.
And it's horrible, but it is a bit of a wonder. I mean, look at that. We can click on, you can get out your phone now and we can get something arriving probably within a few hours. Isn't that a bit of a wonder? But also,
I agree. They're built into my exercise routine, because I work like a lot of people. I do quite a lot of work at home, and it's up some stairs. And if you order something at 3 a.m, and then sometime during the day, the doorbell rings, you have to go down, and then you get up, and then it rings. Oh, somebody else, the next door neighbour's passed me, so I have to go down, get it up, and then half an hour later, the neighbour comes around to pick up the thing. So without that, I'd be even heavier than I am now if I didn't have the. The other plus,
you could order it for a house further up the road.
I could do, yes.
And extend your walking.
But what I like about this format of My Seven Wonders, not necessarily you, but a lot of comedians have lots of things they don't like, and they'll in their act, they'll have lots of stuff about that. So, but what other things you do like? And so it's interesting that Amazon often features as, oh God, they deliver the wrong place, or the box got hidden below underneath the dustbin and it got soggy or something.
Yeah,
and it was the wrong size, I had to send it back. But that runs contrary to the fact that it's got a huge business proposition, because everyone loves using Amazon. Not everyone, but a lot of people love using Amazon.
And that's interesting how I think that we are so quick to moan about everything.
Yes.
And you talked about the light there being a wonder.
Yeah.
And of course it is. But now, it's too bright. It's the wrong colour. It's not thick. We are just such unbearable as humans moaners, and we are never satisfied, and it's sort of, when you take a step back, just horrible.
Yeah, or something interrupts your broadband, and it's taking me a minute to get everything.
Yes.
You are able to get to all the knowledge around the world within seconds now.
We literally have access to everything in the universe, and what have we managed to get out of it? Donald Trump.
And what about Jeff Bezos, who I think is the man who founded Amazon? He's a very, very rich man. And there's, there's about half a dozen of them now who are very rich, and all they do is try and work out ways of spending their money. Some of them give it away to charity, but they're also sending rockets up into space or arguing with each other and challenging each other to arguments.
Yes, well, Bezos, of all of them, is probably the most, you know, benign. Yeah. I mean, what Elon Musk is doing is, I think, frankly, dangerous. I mean, I can't help thinking that his main business model is to inhabit the Mars, right? So if he makes the Earth shit enough, more people are going to want to go there. And I think that is his long-term aim. Yeah. Wars, famine, arguments, desecration, the lot. And then we're using one of his Elon rockets to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know that sounds like a bit of a rap, but have you seen him on Twitter? He's understood the algorithm. And the algorithm, which again I think we'll look back on with a negative wonder, hate is big business.
Yeah.
And he knows if he comes on and fires up something about trans or far right or anti-Semitism, the eyeballs go there. Yeah. Eyeballs mean spending on advertising, and that makes money. Yeah. And it's a horrible hole that we've got ourselves in. I don't know how we're going to get out.
All right, that's
but I've got no answers.
Just to drag you back to Amazon.
Sorry,
Jeff
Bezos.
But the other thing that Amazon done...
I just realise I'm sounding quite depressing on today.
No, you're okay. But I'll just add another plus point to Amazon, because the speed of delivery has forced everybody else, all the other businesses that deliver things...
To go under.
It's great, isn't it?
They've all bloody closed. It's brilliant.
There used to be so many places you could even go into the shop and say, I haven't got that. Well, can you deliver? Oh, yeah, but it's 28 days or 60
days. It's amazing.
Days. What's happening in that 28
days? It's amazing.
Nothing is happening in that time. Yeah. You either made it or you haven't made it.
I know. And Jeff's been to the moon and back in those 28 days.
Yeah.
Literally. When you go into a shop, they can say to you, that's the old school model. Yeah. They can say to you, you don't have any rights to give anything back.
Yeah.
Anything on you, don't. You people think you do. I don't think you do.
This is not fit for purpose. Anyway,
sounds like a man who's found every loophole. I bought this mattress a year ago.
But I don't think this is I know you're going to say, you can order stuff.
And anything you give
it
back.
You try it on, you send it back. Yeah. But I never can be bothered to send it
back. Because you got the stairs, mate.
I'm exhausted up and down. So then you've got to go to the... Oh, it's a lot of effort too. So I don't like ordering stuff that, you know, you need to try it. I'd rather go to a shop to try on things.
Well, that's better. That's better.
Yeah.
That's,
I don't know why. It's not interesting to me what I do with Amazon.
It is.
So you're maintaining Amazon as a one of the world, and I can see what you mean by that. It is, along with all many other these innovations that we have around us the last 10 years.
Yes, that we picked out Amazon because it represents something for me. And I guess, it represents, again, this innovation that's just streaming into our lives that's never good enough.
Right. Okay, good.
And also it represents just awful, you know, workers' rights eroding, they're smashing up the unions, they are dominating and crushing other little shops, but still, guess it's the selfishness that keeps me going back.
You've got an interesting approach to this whole business. You're selecting things that in some way you hate as being a wonder of the world.
Well, but that's part of this Xavier show, which is this looking at people and it's easy to point others and say they're bad. And I actually pick out my wife as the sort of, because we're all on this good bad spectrum. And I say in the show somewhere, all of us somewhere between my wife and the Ayatollah of Iran.
Right.
I just hope...
Oh, I'm glad you put her there. It wasn't clear at the beginning.
No, she's
perfection.
She's perfection.
Yes.
And in fact, the Xavier thing comes out of that.
How long have you been married for?
If you ask her mother-in-law, too long. No, because she's kind and she's good. There's not many people who are actually... Like, when push comes to shove, we've all got a price. I actually don't think she has a price. I've tried to bribe her so many times. Yes. But this goodness, she's a teacher. So, she gets paid, but by the time she's bought a train ticket and a sandwich, it's basically voluntary work. but she does it because she loves it, you know. And I want to help people more. I want to volunteer a charity shop at the weekends, but, Premier League football doesn't watch itself.
So you can regard your life as supporting her in that way. So,
well, no, because she supports me.
Oh, well, I was going to try and think if you could support her by, making plenty of money from your comedy, that could
not interested in money. Not interested in money.
No.
One of those weird people.
Yeah. But the bills have to be paid and the roof has to be
to kept. Be fair, I'm going to tell her, oi, listen. Get your priorities right. I'm paying. But yeah, yes, no, it's true. It's true. I think once but she does make enough for bills and but not for my Amazon habit.
No.
That's all on me.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Let's move on to your fourth wonder, which is the gym.
The gym.
The gym. A wonder of the world. The gymnasium.
Well, partly... Okay, so this... I found out that I have ADHD.
All right.
Which I know a lot of comedians talk about, and I'm sure there's many people... This looks like a lot of people from the generation who go, oh, shut up. Brilliant. Oh, that's really helpful. No, you haven't. You're just a disorganized imbecile. Buck up your ideas. And indeed, I think my parents are of that persuasion as well. Mum, Dad, I've got ADHD. They're like, right, brilliant. Well, it doesn't help me because you're late for dinner. but it has been enormously helpful for me. It's made me understand why I am what I am, why I'm who I am. I guess if I had to explain it to people who don't have ADHD, and all of you are old enough to not want to have ADHD, but it's like, in those programs where they have they look back at their ancestry. What's the show called?
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? Yeah. Right. And you have people streaming with tears. Oh, my God, my great-great-great-great-great-great uncle was the cousin of the king. And it's like, who cares? But there's something with humanity where when we understand where we're from, it makes us feel more complete and understand ourselves. And there's nothing stronger than that with ADHD, because ADHD affects every single part of the mind, okay? Right. It is not... And that's why it's like... Everyone's a bit late. Everyone's a bit disorganized. Everyone says, shut up. But it's when it affects you it totally affects your life. You can't help yourself. You cannot just, snap your fingers out. Come on, just do it. And it explained everything, right? My sleep, my eating. Now, where's the gym come into this? Because I always would exercise, and exercise would always make me feel better. And I found out that exercise has a similar effect to the ADHD medication, right, in that it resets the dopamine in your brain, and it was the thing that would allow me to feel normal. Yeah. And I found out from a psychiatrist, he sees a lot of patients for the first time when they have an injury. Why? Because they can no longer exercise. You can't exercise, your brain goes to a more chaotic state. They can't cope. They see the doctor. And the gym has given me that ability to function. It's given that ability to feel well mentally and physically. And it's given me the ability to look at myself in the mirror for an hour every day without being weird about that. So that's also great.
I follow what you're saying. Yeah. There might be a weakness here, though. If you're too much affected by ADHD, you don't organise your time properly to get to the gym.
Yes, so I can only join 24-hour ones.
Yeah,
it cannot have a closing time. No, absolutely. Yeah. But once that, I need to start my day with exercise. It doesn't need to be a gym. It can be a run. For me, the pushing of the heavy weights, that just gets...
And you're disciplined enough to make yourself do that. You don't say, oh, I've done that for 2 minutes. Oh, I can't be bothered. You do the full amount that will
No, have because... maybe I haven't got across well enough. That is what makes me feel good.
Yes.
It's like, I liken the gym to a sort of a reverse hangover.
Yeah.
No one wants to do it, and then afterwards you feel great. Everyone wants to drink, afterwards you feel terrible.
Yeah.
So no one wants to exercise, but you I know the benefits afterwards of how it's going to make me feel. And so and there's also a vanity thing as well.
Yeah, but for a lot of people, by which I mean me,
yes,
I think I'd like to do exercise, but unless I have and I've never really had one, unless I have a sort of personal trainer or somebody making me do it,
yes,
or I'm playing a game, a sport, or you know, doing something, I just don't make myself, I can only do,
right,
I could do more than three press-ups physically, but mentally, right, I really can't be bothered.
Well, in medicine, that's called being a lazy fucker.
Yeah, yeah.
No, what
I'm
I would...
familiar with the term.
What I would say to you is give it a go. Try for 2 weeks going every other day and just doing something, and I think that how it will make you feel will make you want to do more. But obviously, it's more severe with me because my brain chemistry is wrong. I've got a broken pleasure centre, so for me to just feel normal, okay, I need to go to the gym every morning and perform and make a group of, you know, strangers happy at night. That's comedy. I'm not in car parks.
Yeah. All right, I hope my pleasure centre's all right, but I'll have to check them out. So we can go on to the next one, because it's sort of related, because you've gone for the gym. Number five is Pep Guardiola.
Yes.
Now, anyone's interested in football will know who Pep Guardiola is, but they may be not interested in the slightest. But he is about the most successful football manager at the moment, possibly ever.
Yes.
Tell me why you particularly have included him as a wonder, though. Having said he is one of the best ever, that primarily explains itself.
Yes, and I should preface this by saying my dad and his dad were Mancunians before anyone starts throwing me in the bandwagon basket.
Yes.
And I'm a lifelong Manchester City fan.
I see. For the first bit of your life, that was probably not that much fun to be a Manchester City fan.
Not that much fun.
They were a shabby club, very much in the shadow of Manchester United.
Well, listen, where were you when you were SHIT? I was there,
yes,
when we were extremely in the Kippax at Main Road, which is the stadium that's been knocked down and no one misses it, in the dreary rain, watching us draw 0-0 against Sheffield United and Oldham. And it was bleak times.
Yeah.
And Pep Guardiola is a bit of a hero of mine, not just because he's at Manchester City, the way he carries himself, the way... There's not many people who I think are natural-born leaders. I don't think, no matter how much one tries, there is certain combination of charisma, ability, talent, skill that makes people want to follow you.
Yeah.
And I watch him, and he's just got this amazing connection. And I think as comedians, we need a connection as well in a different way.
Yeah.
We're not asking them to come on, get out there, have a good festival, let's go. Yeah. We're wanting them to come on with our emotional journey and our narrative in the show and be engaged with us. But he has this incredible ability. I find him an incredibly admirable person. And not only that, the basics. He is a footballing, tactical, technical genius, and I'm a straight guy, but I don't know, he does make me I would say
he restores your pleasure centers in a way most of
either need
don't.
To go to the gym or watch Pep Guardiola every morning. He's amazing.
And, so he's had a great career. He's having a great career. He was a footballer at Barcelona. Then he managed Barcelona to great success. Bayern Munich now. And then, luckily for Manchester City, along the way, the downtrodden club they were, they got bought up by huge amounts of oil money, which means they've got unlimited. And I don't know when this podcast is going to be heard. They may still have all that money. They may still be carrying on that way. But they are subject to... how many complaints is it? 100 complaints?
Yeah, let's not talk about that now.
Yeah.
but yes, there are a number of... Alec, as a lawyer, I would have thought you would be not throwing around these accusations. Innocent till proven guilty.
I'm saying they're accusations.
Yeah, they are.
I enjoyed watching Manchester City play just... was it a couple of days ago now when they missed out in the end to Arsenal in the... in the Community Shield.
Yes. There are those allegations hanging over the club, and they are for financial fair play, and it would be a great tragedy if there is some unfair play. I mean, look, the money thing, it is, it's amazing what £1 billion can get you, as I always say. But it's not just that. You know, Manchester United have spent more than Manchester City, and, you know, look where it's got them. The Pep, just to talk more effusively about Pep, just he's gone from a player and captain with Barcelona to managing them, to Bayern Munich, to City. If you look at his league table positions, they've either been one or two. Yeah. I think he finished third once with Bayern. He's just... Obviously, as a comedian, I success is something that enthralls me, entices me, and this guy, he's just reinventing himself and teams and reinventing the game of football. When he first came to the UK, people said, "Shh, you're not going to win. You can't win football like that." And look what he's done. Just incredible. Yeah.
Well, he is a fantastic one, and. You may have got a hint from me. I support Arsenal in England. There was a time when...
Well, you weren't actually meant to be at the Charity Shield, let's be honest.
No, that's why we're there, just to make up the numbers. But because otherwise...
They didn't win a trophy last year.
They just had to play themselves.
Yeah.
For a long while, you know how you get lots of rumours about football? People always say, yes, Pep Guardiola, Arsene Wenger's best friend is Pep Guardiola. He always stays with him in London. So Arsene is preparing the ground to hand over to Pep. Well, that's a good idea. Well, that's going to happen. And it didn't happen, unfortunately.
No.
So I think we were outbid by the money or something.
But
we've got somebody who's learnt at his feet. So that's almost as good.
Well, Wenger's another who came along and changed football.
Yes,
but now he's become a FIFA apologist, I think.
Well, he seems to be involved in all sorts of weird, policy changes and ideas. Yeah. World Cup, he played every other year. And
I think he's taken the money. He's sort of bastarded shop on Amazon.
I don't think he's done it corruptly. I think he's just got some funny ideas. But we had a glorious years with him. Anyway, we're getting straying off into football banter, which is depressing to people who are not interested, or boring to people who are not interested. So Pep Guardiola, I can perfectly understand why you regard him as he is a wonder in the world of football. And it's hard to think of a manager who's done any better than him in the history of association football.
And with football. City, it's like that the imposter syndrome. My son...
Yeah.
And he just thinks City win.
The children like that. They don't go through the 10 years of misery beforehand.
Exactly. And to me, in my head, City, we're City. We're funny City. And now look at us with the greatest manager. Yeah. I just always say to me, enjoy this. Enjoy. It is not going to get better.
It won't last. Yeah. No, I know. It won't last, I'm saying. So. Okay. So number six, you're one of the... is science. So this is a very big... thing to put into the wonders of the world.
Yes. Well, science was always the only area at school where I did any good. Yeah. I had ADHD at school, so yeah. Very good. That was underrated. Come on, that was good.
Yeah.
Tack on some laughter afterwards.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I haven't said that before. Well, I'm going to say it again, though.
Yeah, definitely. Which meant at school, when I was a kid, you were just the naughty. You were the idiot. You were the concentrate in class, do better. Just all the things now they would say. Everyone, Simon is incredibly special. And he's in the class, and yes, he's going to be occasionally drawing on the walls or getting his backside out, but we have to support him because he has a... And then it was just shut up and get out. Yes. And I was sent out of most classes, and I was just the class clown. And people used to tell me I was clever, but I would think, well, I'm not. Look at the evidence, because I'm failing at all the exams. Science was the one thing, partly because of my brain, partly because of the teacher I had, where I was like, wow, I get this, I like it. And that led me to, obviously, medicine. And science is just one of, I think in particular, the what happened recently with COVID and the vaccines. And what's so funny about science doesn't care. Science isn't an opinion. Science isn't politics. Science, all science is looking at whether something is true or not under an experimental circumstance under the and it needs to have all sorts of checks and balances, and it isn't always gonna. I guess what I'm trying to say is the way people approached science with the COVID vaccine in particular was just so deeply depressing and such a mark of where we're up to as a society, where everyone's opinions, which in some ways is great, but in some ways, like this, is terrible, are heard just as loud as others. So if I have a Twitter account with 90 followers and I say something, that can be amplified just as much as the person who has dedicated their entire life to thinking about vaccinations. And the way people turned against it, and that's not just us now, people have done this throughout, but the one thing that has saved humanity and got us to where we are today with basic hygiene and medicines and science. And what do people do with it? Like we do with everything now. No, it's wrong. It's not good enough. I don't want it. It's just befuddling. I mean, even things like washing hands, you know, that has saved more lives than I don't know what. All the things that we just take for granted to do with science, you know, whether it be washing or basic. Okay, let's say a few years ago, let's say you walk out of here and I was going to say you, but this would just sound horrible, fall on the stairs and deeply scratch my leg, right? Now, 100 years ago?
Yeah.
The chance of that getting infected, you're pretty high because there's bacteria everywhere. What happens once it gets infected? Nothing. They would have put some leeches on me and just watch as my leg got rotten and swollen. They would have probably chopped off with a saw, and then they wouldn't have even washed their hands. Yeah. And now, you know, doctor, what do? We go, doctor, I got this scratch from leg. It's gone a bit red and pussy. Here's some antibiotics. Yeah. I've just looked. Oh, I can't drink with these, can I?
Yeah, it's fine. There's all sorts of areas that people rely on science for 99%, but if they don't happen to believe in global warming, they'll say, oh, well, that's all wrong, or COVID and the... But, and it's not just sort of completely dumb people. It just comes to mind, because I used to mention this in a show of mine, that George Bernard Shaw was critical, completely critical, of smallpox vaccine throughout his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he regarded it as dangerous, filthy witchcraft, the idea of putting, because he didn't understand
how
that worked.
He was obviously
a very clever man, but he couldn't understand that bit of it. And so, and he died. I mean, he died at a high age, so he didn't do him too badly, but he didn't die of smallpox or anything. But he was in his 90s. But he died still thinking, which has eliminated a disease from the world.
And this is, science doesn't always need to seem logical. What he did with smallpox is he cut open a pustule of someone with smallpox, and then injected that into someone who didn't have smallpox. Right. And that was the basis of the vaccine. So to you, that looks absolutely crazy, but that is science because it proved to be right.
So the number seven is an audience is your wonder of the world. You find it.
Why didn't we say that first? Why?
He didn't say this audience. He just said an audience.
Well, it's any audience. So my passion for stand-up has just grown, and I'm kind of in love with the art form. Yeah. And what's so interesting about stand-up is literally all you need is an audience. And I go up and down the country, and I'm, you know, in these theatres. And what is going on? I recently saw Groundhog Day, the musical.
All right.
It was great fun. And it's brilliant. And I'm seeing it again tomorrow. And I remember paying for me and my two kids and wife to go along. I'm looking at the tickets. And it was like 50 quid minimum. And I'm thinking, really, my kids are gonna hate it. I'm gonna hate you, grumpy dad. And the show was amazing and funny and brilliant, particularly if you're with kids. And the costumes and changes and sets and designs, because I remember thinking my show's only 20 quid, or in Edinburgh about 12-15. And I then came out afterwards going, oh my God, I'm ripping people off. Because it's just me and a microphone. And what is just the incredible thing about an audience is that feeds the art form. That is what I do it for. That people looking. And what is an audience? Just a mass of people who have all decided they want to do the same thing the same evening or afternoon. And it's just, it is a wonder that that creates.
Well,
the show, the stand-up, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Well, it always comes as a wonder to me that I ever get an audience. But thank you very much. I'm sort of race on now. We've done your seven wonders. Thank you very much for it. I have to now select the wonder of wonders, the one I think you have argued the best for. And it pains me to say this, but I think you're sort of an odd selection, but I can't argue the fact that Pep Guardiola is a wonder of the world. So
I'm happy.
I
hope someone can tell him that, please.
Simon Brodkin.
Thank you, Clive.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode of My Seven Wonders, it would be wonderful if you could rate and review us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you found us. Thank you for listening.
My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.